The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, I want to talk about the planning bill. So it has been impossible in the last little while to mention housing or other critical infrastructure to any government politician without them citing the planning bill, this much vaunted piece of legislation that's going to solve all our woes, apparently. But how and what will change, and are there any concerns about how it's going to operate into the future, the planning system? So with me to discuss all of the above is Roisin Murphy, conservationist and architect, and Tom Phillips, who's the Managing Director of Tom Phillips and Associates and an adjunct associate professor of architecture and planning in UCD as well. You're both very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a million. Thank you. For coming in. We could dedicate an entire show and more, Tom, to how the planning system works at the moment. But as quickly as you can, I guess, how does it operate, or how is it meant to operate? We don't need to get into kind of exemptions or any of that sort of stuff, but broadly speaking, what's meant to happen?
Well, what's meant to happen is that there is an assumption that if you're doing development, that development needs planning permission. It's called permission for development. So there are 31 local authorities and one on board Panola. Most applications get through the system. Some are appealed. If they're appealed, they go to on board Panola. It's a bit like a high court and a supreme court. So the local 31 local authorities, Dublin City Council, Fingal, Cork, Kilkenny County Council, for example, all of those county councils have their own planning system, or their own planning development plan, but they have the Common Planning Act. And what's happening at the moment is, for the third time in 60 years, they're reviewing the Planning Act that underpins all of that. And the overarching document as well that controls it all is the National Planning Framework, which is currently about to be reviewed in the next month. Well, it's about to go out on public display in the next month for review. And that'll be the second iteration of that document. It came out in 2018.
Okay, so what are they proposing to change?
They're changing, well, just a kind of funny thing that the 60 years ago, on the 1st of October 1964, the 63 Act came out, and there was only 92 sections. There are now 572 sections. You need a bike to carry it around. It's huge. There are six times more sections in the document than there are 60 years ago. And the last change was 24 years ago in 2000, when they changed it, and there were three times as many. Now there's six times as many. So it's added in new. It's supposed to be, it's designed to be a root and branch review of the planning system. That's what they undertook in 2016 in Simon Coveney's housing strategy, and then subsequently in Dara O'Brien's housing strategy, they undertook to do this review. So they looked at the whole system because it got so unwieldy. And it's even got more complex. So because they've got to take on board EU legislation as well as national legislation, and got to take on board various court cases that have taken place. So it's just got a very complex
document. Will the fundamentals change, though, in terms of, you know, you go to your local authority to seek planning, and if there's an issue or an appeal, you might go to Bord Pleanála.
Correct. The fundamentals.
That still will ultimately be the process.
Yeah, the fundamentals stay the same. The Planning Appeals Board on Bord Pleanála will be rebranded as on Comisiún Pleanála, but it's actually the same. It's the same structure. So everything's the machinations or the administrative framework underpinning it all stays the same, but the legislation, I would argue, it's more complex. It's supposed to be simplified, but it's such an impossible thing to simplify. You can't, because it's like, I'm at this 34 years ago, and I would say it's more complex now than it was 34 years ago.
Yeah, Roisin, I get nervous when I hear a politician talking about something being streamlined and find out the legislation includes 500 different subsections.
700 pages in a document. It's definitely not streamlined. But it has, I would say, when 2017 saw a significant change in that process. I mean, I agree with the main part of what you're saying, but in 2017 we saw the strategic housing development, and that meant as a developer, if you had over 100 units, you could bypass the planning system and go straight to on board Pleanála and look for a decision, and that threw the cat among the pigeons. And so we have had...
In what way? So the rationale at the time for that was what? Is that we needed to kind of to speed up the pace at which this could all start. And a lot of them were ending up before in Bord Pleanála anyway. So let's just jump the local authority hurdle.
Was the ambition. But the reality of it was that it also coincided with a change in funding of large scale housing as well in the country. We have a liberal capital model, and we all know what that means. We were getting funding by financial institutions and international markets, and there was a change in the taxation provision for apartments, etc., which drew in a huge amount of capital into a country that was recovering from a recession. But the problem is that people still had And they still, it's not a problem. It is their right to judicially review these outcomes, because suddenly they have something that deviates from their local area plan, the thing that they voted for with their councillors that we all saw. We vote all these councillors in, we make regional plans. And that is one of the things that's really changing, is that we're going to be, it's coming from the head down, the national planning strategy. So anyway, they, people are saying there's 18 storey apartment block going on the back of mine housing estate. I don't want it. So they go to they look for a judicial review of Umbrella Planola gives this permission. Now, there was absolute bedlam because people had no other recourse to suddenly get their opinion. They couldn't go to it wasn't going through ordinary planning, so they weren't able to say.
So those people before the strategic housing development became a reality, they would just object with their local authority and say, I don't want that 18-storey building behind me. Yeah, and now... They had to deal with
and there was two other things that I think really incited, and I know Tom is laughing at me because he's used to me talking about this, but the other thing that happened was there was a release on the control of the size of apartments, and this kind of engineered a change in land values as well, but also outraged with these things where student housing was suddenly, you've had Orla Hegarty here, Orna Hegarty, where she said it's the size of a car park. So now some of those things have changed back and people said actually it's not fit for purpose. But I would argue that we have opened the door on taking apart the planning system. In actual fact, the planning system isn't the problem. That, you know, we're trying to fix a bigger problem by continually taking apart our planning system.
Well, okay, I want to ask you about that. What is the bigger problem? How we fix it? But Tom, why were you?
Well, I fundamentally disagree with Roisin, because I was actually one of the two people who came up with the idea of SHD in the first place. Because since 2006, we've had a fast track mechanism for strategic housing or for strategic development, so like runways and
railways.
It's called SID, S-I-D, Strategic Infrastructure Development.
That's not housing, though.
No, strategic housing development is a subset of SID. It's a form of SID. And it was brought in because we have a housing crisis. So this thing about it bypassing the planning system is totally untrue, because it means every single scheme went to the local authority for their assessment. And the local authority, you had to deal in the first instance with the local authority, and then you brought it forward at meetings to the Planning Appeals Board, and then it was assessed by the Planning Appeals Board, which is the same board that assesses regular appeals. So it was designed, but I mean, it's a little bit of a red herring in the sense that there are so many other forms of housing. Like, we've got one-off housing, we've got all these different types of housing. So SHD is just one factor. It's just a very complex system, the housing system and the planning system.
But it did take the public voice out of that at planning level. It did not at a Bord Planála level. You couldn't make an appeal about something that was going to on Bord Planála. Well, you couldn't contribute.
No, but you could. You made the exact same. You had the same 5 weeks to make your submission for €20. You
made
to the local authority, and the local authority then sent it in and did a review, and the local authority made their submission to the Planning Appeals Board. And it's the only example of development where the local councillors had a right to give submissions, and they always did. So the local authorities, local towns will say it's anti-democratic, but it's the only form of vote.
They're not the only people were saying that this was anti-democratic, though, Tom. Like, there was that has been disbanded for that.
Disbanded because it had a fixed life in the Planning Act.
It's kind of an interesting discussion, and that's not why I want to move on.
I
want to, just for people at home, though, as well, who, like I said at the outset, they keep hearing this cited. You know, this is coming. Darragh O'Brien always talks about it. You know, this is coming. This change is coming. This is going to take out one of the big hurdles, one of the big kinks is going to be ironed out. I mean,
There is. I mean, it gives a lot. It ties together a lot of documentation. But the Department of Finance came out with a document yesterday about how difficult and how development is financed. It was always financed with international capital. It was always a factor. The banks were always financed by international capital. So, and it is an important that we don't, because there's
the same document as well. Like, all of the stakeholders acknowledge that planning delays are what make them reluctant
No, that's what it was. The finance document said the biggest problem to the housing crisis in Ireland is the planning system. And a very well-known architect was telling me recently, he was at a meeting over in America with an international development company, and they said Ireland, they use the word phrase WEP, I used to use the acronym WEPI, water, energy, planning. And then so he said, Ireland's got no water system that we can talk about, no energy system that we're happy with, no planning system we're happy with, and we're no interest.
Harsh, Tom, because, you know, but like, we all know that in the 1950s in Ireland, like, the provision of public housing was done by government.
Correct.
It has changed all of it. It wasn't done by financial institutions. It was done by government. We then, okay, we loosened up, we changed, we joined Europe. The model for providing housing all over the world is the same. It is failing on this tenant. We are not alone in this. This is not unique to the Irish planning system, that the provision of cheap housing is failing. And one of the things that is really annoying about this argument is that it's as if it's a unique Irish planning problem, that we have created this incredible, stupid, non-investment friendly planning system. It's simply not true. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. They're
well,
here.
Well, I
want to get back to the kind of this kind of planning bill, which would be ultimately some version of a planning act.
Yeah.
Will it in the near future mean that a similar report from the Department of was it the Department of the Environment?
Department of Finance.
Department of Finance report that stakeholders will not be citing planning as an obstacle to building in the country. Is it going to solve some
no.
of the problems?
No. Right, okay. But the big argument, and as an architect, I was at the Institute's AGM, which was last week, and I'm an elected rep onto that. I'm not speaking for them, but I can say that somebody said in the audience, can we please get somebody to talk about this incredibly stupid piece of legislation that's been brought before us, that is going to make it incredibly difficult to provide housing, that is both cumbersome and it's just unwieldy. And there is, I think it's UNCE, I can never pronounce, it looks, sounds like Ishka, but it's not. They're saying that the language involved is unwieldy, it's difficult to understand, it doesn't really target the issues that needed to be tidied up, that it is a 700-page document. Mm. And Aarhus, is that the correct
name? Aarhus,
they're telling us, go back to the drawing board. It's not democratic. You have to go back. They've been told and they were advised about
this. Do you think it might?
Democracy. Well, I think that there's a lot of positives. We've got the Housing Commission report has come out. That's a fantastic piece of work done by a lot of people, experts on housing and across party and cross-sectoral. And that's a useful document that sets out a very clear steer and tells the government that they need to build more houses. But the one thing about Aarhus and Ireland's democracy, we have the most democratic planning system in Europe.
Soon to change.
But there are 27 countries in the EU, and the one with the highest rights to object to a scheme is Ireland. So for €20, you can hold up a scheme.
It's €169 to get a judicial review in England and €179 in France. The right to object is a democratic right. It is an important to protect it. What they have introduced in terms of overruling, like, Tom, what do you think of that? Apparently the language in the actual document copies some of the objectors' wording that was used in Greystones and Wicklow, where 98 houses were provided in Wicklow, and apparently they'd maxed out this area. And the provision in this new act is to say, you don't have to comply with the local area development plan if you need to provide housing. Mm. So that means they get to come in and say, we're just going to do that. We're dumping all that housing on you, regardless of your strategy within your area that's voted by your local representatives, that's put in by your local planners, that in actual fact, this is going...
I'm not entirely filled with hope that planning bill is an important thing.
But I find that very scary.
Okay,
also the issue about making a judicial review, you have to be,
constituted.
You have to have a constituted residence association. You have to have 2/3 of the people have to give their names and addresses. And you have, so that's it's going to drag it into a status quo issue. There's going to be people who have the legislative framework to make these objections.
Judicial review is just about the legal. There's so many other forms of housing that we need. So in the last 2 years, we had 168,000 people came to Ireland.
Wicklow.
100,000
Answer me on Wicklow, though.
Well, Wicklow, because...
Think of that?
I think it's wrong, because you can't put a cap. The housing need, demand assessment in Ireland is based on a ceiling.
Yeah.
They said, thou shalt build this minimum number of houses and that's it. Whereas internationally, housing need, demand assessments are built as a floor. But so you say that's the minimum we need to
get. I'm going to get in trouble if
So we need to be building more houses. That's the bottom line.
But they're saying that issue of that wording is incredibly undemocratic because it's cutting through the rights of local
but
people.
But we have a crisis.
They've elected...
Roisin Murphy, conservationist and architect. Tom Phillips, managing director of Tom Phillips and Associates. I am sorry that we're out of time because I actually am enjoying it. I really am. I'm not quite sure if I'm any clearer on how the planning bill is going to change things for the better or the worse, but there you go.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.